Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that helps us to understand the gospel lesson that Jesus teaches us today is that the verses in our gospel text are part of a larger discourse that Jesus gave. And in the larger discourse, he talks now about the coming judgment and destruction of the city of Jerusalem as a punishment from God for having rejected the Messiah. All right? So he's talking about the coming destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And then he's also talking about the signs and portents of the last day, the day of judgment, the second coming of Christ, the end of the world. And it's always important for us to know, and I know I harp on this because it's a key to understanding what Jesus teaches about the second coming. The destruction of Jerusalem was a type and a foreshadowing of the end of the world. It's like the destruction of Jerusalem is kind of like a grim snow globe that pictures for us the final cataclysm of the whole creation. So just as Jerusalem will be destroyed for having rejected the Messiah, and will be not one stone left upon another, so it is at the close of the day of grace, when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, when the day of grace is over, the Lord Jesus Christ will return with his holy angels, and he will judge the quick and the dead. And those who are blessed in God's grace through faith in Christ will be invited to enter with him into the joy of the Lord. And those who have despised preaching and his word, those who have continued in unbelief, will be cast into the lake of fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So it's very important that you notice that our text today is a section from a larger discussion of the last things, and that there is a mixture of talking about the end of the world and the destruction of Jerusalem. Why? Because they're both talking really about the same thing. All right? The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD was the end of the world for the nation of Israel. And so it will be that the last day, the second coming of Christ, will be the end of the world for the world, the entire world. All right. Now we can move on. Jesus says, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." What's Jesus talking about? He's saying that before the coming of the end of the world, it will seem as though creation is coming apart at the seams. You know, we live our lives every day with the assurity that when we put one foot in front of another, we will get from A to B. And we live our lives with the assurance that seasons will come and seasons will go. The rains and the snows will come, the sun will return. But there is coming a time when there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, everything will appear to be coming apart at the seams and disintegrating. St. Peter in his epistle says that the heavens will roll up like a scroll. So Jesus says that there will be two reactions to this. The reaction of the world will be men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. Because they spent their lives despising God's word, because they would not repent of their sins, because they held on to their idolatries and their false ideologies and would not hear the word of Jesus. When these obvious signs begin to come to pass, the world will completely misunderstand them, and they will not use them for what they are, signs and tokens that now is the last opportunity to repent of one's sins and to come to Jesus. But there's another reaction. Jesus said, "Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And when these things, all these things, and everything else he said earlier in the chapter as well, that we won't dwell on today, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So Jesus says, when everybody else is going like this, you will go like this. Why? Because when the universe seems to be rolling up like a scroll, and when the world seems to be coming apart at the seams, you, having listened to and heard and internalized and believed the word of God, you will be ready, and when you see these things happen, you will know that Jesus is coming. And so instead of cringing in fear, you will confidently look for the appearing of the Lord, because you know that your redemption draweth nigh. So it's going to be a great and wonderful day for all those who believe in Jesus and through faith have the full forgiveness of all their sins, because the day of judgment for the believing Christian will be a day of vindication. Now, this is what that word redemption means. It almost seems like Jesus put the wrong word in there. Because when we use the word redemption, normally speaking, we are referring to what he did for us when he suffered and died on the cross. That Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, and that he, for our sakes, obeyed the law of God completely. And for our sakes, though he was sinless, he endured the punishment of God against the sins of the world. He took all of our punishment into himself. How can a man do a thing like that? He can do it when he's also true God. All right? Remember, we believe that Jesus is true man and true God in one person. If he were only man, he could not be a redeemer, only an example. You understand that? That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons do not have a redeemer. No matter how many times the word Jesus flops out of their mouth, it's not Jesus, the Redeemer and Savior of all men. It is Jesus, the fearless leader. Jesus, the moral example. Jesus, the pioneer who shows us the way that we must go in order to please God. But no, when we usually use the word redemption, we're talking about the once and for all atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. So when we think of our redemption, we think of something in the past. And here Jesus says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And this points out for us the kind of unique little position that we are in as Christians living in the day of grace. All right? And that's this. All that we are is because of what happened on our behalf 2,000 years ago. Jesus, God's Word, became incarnate. He lived among us. He fulfilled all the prophecies. He performed all the miracles. And after he had paid for the sins of the world with his own blood and death, he rose again from the dead on the third day. And after commissioning his disciples to preach to the world, he ascended to the right hand of God with the promise that he would come again on the last day as the judge of all. So, you and I, we stand here in the here and now, and we have faith in the Redeemer who came and did all that is needed for us to believe that we are saved and received in the grace of God. Right? And here we are in the midst of this unbelieving world, yet we live in the age of grace. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We live in this time of wonderful opportunity because God's grace is richly poured forth. Where? Wherever God's word is preached and wherever the sacraments of Christ are administered, there he is among his people, pouring out his grace and his gifts and his blessings for us to receive by faith and enjoy. So we are living in this day of grace. But here's the catch. Here's the catch for us. All of this stuff, which is wonderful and efficacious and fantastic, it is hidden. It is hidden in humility. It is hidden in the cross. It is hidden in preaching, right? Even St. Paul, he talks about the fact that in the wisdom of the world did not know God. But in the foolishness of preaching, God's gracious plan is made manifest. And so, we know that we are forgiven. We know that we have eternal life. We know that we have a gracious God. But all of this is a knowledge that is by faith, not by sight. We don't see it yet. We believe it because the Word proclaims it. Do you understand? What we believe is hidden under the crosses that we bear and under the trials and tribulations that we endure in this life. Yes, what we have is absolutely wonderful, but it's hidden under the gospel. It is revealed only in the words of promise and in the blessings of the sacraments. And so, a person goes from being a child of the devil to being a child of God in the waters of baptism. Boy, does that ever look hidden, doesn't it? No matter how charming every little baby is, when you look at every little baby, they look like little darlings. But what is actually happening in the sacrament of baptism? Someone is going from death to life. Someone is going from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. These are what baptism does and gives. And yet, it all just looks like a splish splash of water, doesn't it? And so it is that we have these wonderful treasures. They already belong to us. We know them, but by faith. We believe. And because we believe, we have hope. And hope looks to the future. And that's what Jesus is talking about here when he says, look up and lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is talking about the final effect of our redemption. Here we have it already. But we have it by faith, not by sight. But on that day, our redemption in all of its perfection and glory will be known and will be experienced in absolute fullness, and no one, not even the bleakest child of the lake of fire, will be able to deny the redemption that God's children received. And one of the chief sufferings of eternal damnation will be the realization that it was so easy to come to Jesus, but you wouldn't do it. All right? And the sufferings of hell will be intensified by the fact that every denizen of the lake of fire will always realize that they could have had glory eternal, but that they wouldn't. It was there being offered to them constantly on television, on the radio, in their churches, their friends. Everybody has some kind of Christian friend. The Holy Ghost was coming to them perpetually throughout their lives, and they spurned it. And one of the pains of hell will be the constant realization that they blew it, that they missed out on it, and that it is their own fault. But this knowing will not work repentance, but it will just be an addition to the sufferings. And so here we have, what's he talking about? Your redemption draweth nigh. He's talking about the full realization and manifestation to be clearly seen, all the things that we now have and believe by faith. You understand that? So now we have these things. We are redeemed. We are the children of God. We are God's own elect. We have the forgiveness of sins. God hears and answers our prayers. But all of this currently is hidden. It's hidden under the crosses that we bear. It's hidden in the words of the gospel. It's hidden in the lowliness of the sacraments. But on that day, these magnificent realities which we know by faith, we will be seeing in their full manifestation so that no one will be able to deny them. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.